Hey there, and welcome to the Limitless Church Podcast. We're so excited that you decided to join in with us today. Now, we're always inspired to hear how God is using Limitless Church to change lives. If you have a story to share of how God has used this ministry in your life, would you take a moment and send us an email at mystory@limitlesschurch.online. Now, you can also support this ministry financially. By doing so, you help us bring messages just like this one to you each and every single week. You can do that online at limitlesschurch.online/give. Now prepare your hearts to hear a word from God.
Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me today, let us go into the house of the Lord. I want you to high five three people around you and say, welcome home, welcome home, welcome home, welcome home, welcome home. We're so glad you're here. Amen, amen, amen. We're so thankful that you're here today at Limitless. We're so glad that you're with us today. And we're excited. Amen. Can we give God one more hand clap of praise in the house today? Is God good or what? What an amazing thing. What an amazing time we're in right now. Welcome to our first service in our house. Amen. Amen. And so we're looking forward to great days ahead and what God's going to do. I'm just praying, take a good look at all those chairs back there and just reach your hand toward them and say, God, fill them all. Amen, amen, amen. Will you believe with me? I'm so grateful you're here. You are part of us if you're here today, and we're thankful that you're here today. We don't believe in accidents. We believe God orders steps. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. That means if you're here today, you're here by divine appointment. No matter who invited you, no matter who brought you, no matter how you found out about it, you are here not by accident, not by incident, but by appointment. And we believe you might have just stumbled your way back home. Amen? And so if you don't have a home church, we want you to know you found one. But we want to connect with you. Like he said, connect with us on the Connect card. Please put it in the boxes on the back on the way out. Or if you see somebody with a lanyard, anything with a lanyard on, a limitless lanyard on, you can hand it to anybody. They'll make sure that they get it there. We're so thankful for our team. Isn't our team awesome? Amen. They came in this morning, first day in. It looks awesome. Amen. And they came in at 7 o'clock this morning. They were already beating me here, and I was up at 3:45. If anybody has me on social, they saw me up at 3:45 because I was like a kid at Christmas today. I couldn't rest because I just knew, God, what you're going to do through this place is going to be amazing. And I sense him in this room already. Amen. How about you? All I could think about today was that song that Clint Brown wrote some time ago. Where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see. Through eyes of love, a hopeless case, an empty place, if not for grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found, a hopeless case, an empty place, if not for grace. How many are thankful for the grace of God? Amen. I don't know, but this just this morning represents some things in my life. And if you've known me since conference, then you know a side of me that is just broken in a million pieces. Just because God's been messing me up because of where God's taken this house. There's two things he spoke to us and spoke to me when we set out to do Limitless. And he did it in unexpected ways, but he said, if you'll get out of the way, I'll do this. And then number two, he said, don't you use any previous model you've built before to build this, because I'm going to do a new thing. And so I didn't know what he meant until the new thing was going to be messing me up. But God just wrecked us and wrecked everything because God's about to build something that's never been built before. Amen. And so we're excited today. Are you excited to hear from God today? If you are, say amen. We're a little old-fashioned here. If you'll stand with me for the Word of God today. Amen. So thankful today. I believe God's going to move in your life today. Touch somebody next to you and say, you ain't never going to be the same again. Amen. I believe God's going to wreck somebody in this place today. The way He's been wrecking me for 3 weeks, I feel that same presence in this room. And you're about to get a God encounter of the close kind. Amen. Jonah, the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter of chapter 1. Just so if you don't know the story, you're going to get the story. Amen. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind, somebody say a great wind, into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Turn to your neighbor and say, welcome to your breaking point. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, lowercase g, and cast forth their wares that were in the ship into the sea, so to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Ain't that a mess? So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. Somebody hit your neighbor, say, it's your wake-up call. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Uppercase G. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause the evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Ooh. Look somebody in the eye next to you and say, what's your job? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea rocked, and it was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared, somebody say prepared, a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. That's as far as we need to go. We're going to touch some more, but that's as far as we need to read. Now the Lord, verse 17, had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. The title of my message today is Undeniable. But if I was to subtitle it, it would be this. Touch your neighbor, say, neighbor, I've been swallowed, but not digested. Yeah. Touch three people and say, I've been swallowed, but not digested. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your presence, your anointing. I thank you, God, for being in this room today. I thank you, God, that somebody's going to leave here transformed. Someone's going to leave here with a touch from you that will be undeniable in their life. Let today become a memorial in somebody's life. Let this be the day that changes everything for them. Somebody in this room came hurting. Let it turn into healing. Somebody came in here in pain. Let it turn into power. Somebody came in here feeling like they're dying. Let them have a resurrection in this room. Someone in this room came in here depressed and oppressed. Let them feel the joy of the Lord that is unspeakable in their life today. Change us all and never let us be the same again. You are a limitless God. Break every limit in this room and we will give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. High five somebody, say you're undeniable. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Oh, it's going to get good in here today. I got running room today, amen. We've been in the middle of this series. I've been enjoying this series. It's been awesome for me. And the series is called Somebody Say Yes. Somebody say yes.
Yes.
Oh, come on, say it like you mean it. Somebody say yes.
Yes.
There we go. I like that. Now you sound like church, amen. Somebody say yes, and we've been dealing with the fact of both our yes and God's yes. When your yes connects to God's yes, that there's something that happens because God has already released his yes into your life. God is not a no God. God is a yes God. God, in fact, the Bible says the promises of God are yes and amen. That means the thing when God starts his promise in your life, the first thing he says is yes. That's why every promise of God is conditional. Every promise of God is conditional. That's why every promise you see biblically in the Bible, you will see him say, if you, then I. Like when he says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Notice something. If they, then I. Like he says, if you hear my word and hearken to my commandment, you shall be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when you come, blessed when you lay down, blessed when you rise up. Is anybody here with me? Blessed in your going in. Blessed in your coming out. Oh, he says, but if you do not hear my word and hearken to my commandment, then you shall be cursed in the city, cursed in the field. Why? It's because every promise of God has an if-then clause, because every promise comes with the condition of obedience. Every promise of God comes with an instruction. That means you can't lay hold of the promise he gave you until you obey the instruction that came with the promise. Because the promise of God is yes. It's not a question, does he have it for you? The question is, will you do what's required of you to possess what he said is already yours? The question is not, has God given you his yes? The question is, does he have yours? Because he said, my promise starts with a yes. The question is, will you make it from yes to amen? Amen means so it is. It means it is so. It means the promise starts with a yes, and then it manifests into it's done. Oh, hallelujah. That's why all you need is for God to give you His yes. Because if He gives you His yes, it's just a matter of time and obedience before yes becomes His amen. That's why He's not a man that He should lie, or the son of man that He should repent. Because if God declared it, then it is so. If God says it shall be, it must come to pass. That means God has never ever got an incomplete on His report card. God has never got halfway anywhere and not finished. He said, I am faithful to complete that good work that I begin in you. If I am the start, I will be the finish. If I am Alpha, I will be Omega. If I'm there at the first, I will be the last. Oh, hallelujah. He said, if I started in you, I ain't quitting on you. I ain't giving up on you until it's finished in your life. Oh, somebody say you're about to get your amen. The question is not His yes or His amen. The question is between His yes and His amen, will He get your yes to what He's requiring for you to get from yes to amen? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, does He have your yes? Does He have your yes? And what I love about God is that when He gives you His yes, it never turns into His no. The Bible says the call of God is without repentance. That means that once God declares something over your life or calls you something, He never changes what He called you. Like when God says, I love you, He doesn't change His mind about it. When God says you are chosen, you don't become unchosen. When God says, I've determined and called you, He doesn't change His mind because you messed up. He doesn't change His mind because you had a fault. He doesn't change your mind because other people quit on you, or you got hurt or wounded, or you went through depression. And I don't know who I came to talk to today, but I came to talk to somebody who's somewhere between yes and amen. And you're somewhere and God is asking you, do I still have your yes? Because when you said yes to His yes, you thought His amen would come easier than it has. And there's some things you ran into when you said yes to His yes that made it look like, God, I don't know. And there have been moments that you felt like His yes turned into a no. There have been moments when you thought He forgot to ever bring an amen. There have been moments when life tries to speak to you and the enemy tries to speak to you and your circumstance tries to speak to you and tell you that God didn't really promise that, and God didn't really say that, and God, that really wasn't for you, and maybe you're not qualified for it, and you've messed up too much, and you've gone through too much, and you've been hurt too much, and your season's already passed, and you already had your opportunity, and it's too old to start a new business, and you're too old to begin a ministry, and you're too old to begin to start again. But I came to declare to you, the same God who spoke it then is still speaking it now. And it's not too late, and it's not over. You are still got an amen waiting on you. Look, you never say, He still says yes. He still says yes. I want to speak today about the undeniability of God's yes in your life. That you are a child of purpose. You are a child of destiny. You are not, like we said, not only are you not here today in this room by accident, you are not here by accident. You've been sent on assignment. You've been sent for purpose, on purpose, to fulfill purpose. That means there's a job that God sent you to do. He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world. That means He chose you. The Bible says it this way. Whom He foreknew, He also did predestinate. And whom He did predestinate, them He also did call. That means He knew you before you were in the womb, and with the knowing came the predestiny. That means before you got into the earth, you already had a destiny to fulfill in the earth before you even arrived. That means God knew your destiny while you were still being formed, and He sent you to fulfill a purpose that would lead you to a destiny in Him. That means I knew you, and those He did foreknow, He did predestinate, and with that predestination came His call. That's why they call it a calling. Have you ever wondered why the calling is called a calling? Can I just mess somebody up in here right now? Look at your neighbor and say, did you know you're called? Yeah. Because we have a tendency to always talk about the calling of God on those of us that wear collars and junk. The collar, and have an ordination paper from a headquarters that said, that's my call. He's called to be a pastor, and he's called to be a prophet, and he's called to be a prophet. No, every person in this room, every living creature in the earth, God sent you here, and with a predestiny, and with the destiny came a calling. Look at them and say, you got a calling on your life. Yeah, that's why the enemy tried to kill you. That's why the enemy tried to take you out. That's why the enemy tried to destroy you. He ain't after you. He's after the calling in you. Oh, it's going to get like that today. Look at him and say, he's after the stuff in you. He's after the stuff in you. He's after what God put in you. He's after the package you're carrying. He's after the assignment that's on you. He's after the destiny that's in you. Because you're holding multitudes in your calling. You're holding thousands and millions of lives inside of you. Your prayers can shake nations. Your mouth can move mountains. Oh, my God. If you knew the destiny and power that was inside of you, hell would begin to shake. Hell gets nervous every time it looks at you. Hell starts quaking in the boots because it's scared to death that you will ever realize just who you are and what you carry in God. Look at your neighbor and say, you're called whether you like it or not. Why is it a calling? Watch this. That means whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. That means predestinate means you had a destiny before you had a beginning. Because God always writes His books, not from the beginning to the end. He always writes the chapters from the end to the beginning. He knows your end from your beginning. But He doesn't start your story at the beginning. He starts your story at the end. That's why He said to His disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. Because the preparation of the place, I know He's talking eschatology, but it's deeper than that, and I'm going to take you deeper today. Amen? Yes, He's talking about heaven, but more than heaven, He's talking about the place of destiny that is already waiting for you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, then I will come back for you, that where I've been, you may be also. That means God already goes into your tomorrow, prepares your tomorrow before you have a today, so that now you can prepare you today for what He already prepared for you tomorrow. Look at your neighbor and say, He's getting you ready for what's already ready for you. He's not getting a blessing ready for you. He's not getting your promise ready for you. He's not getting your destiny ready. He's not getting your calling and your place prepared. No. Your place was prepared before you were in the place. God is not preparing it. God is preparing you for it. It's already prepared. The struggle God's had is not getting your promise ready. The problem He's had is, will you give God your yes in the middle of the process so you are prepared for what's already prepared for you? Woo! Look at him and say, He's working on me. He's preparing me. He's getting me ready, because that's why they call it a calling. Is this all right for somebody so far? All right, we're going to go somewhere. He says, that's why they call it a calling. Why is it a calling? It's because God, from your beginning, already stands in your destiny. He stands in your finish. He stands in your done place, your blessed place, your fulfilled place, your promised place, your destined place. And he begins to call you from the beginning. Before you even got here, he spoke through the lineages of your family, and he put a calling in eternity out for you. And he said, there's a place and time that's waiting on you. There's a place of purpose and fulfillment that's waiting on you. And from the time you came out of the womb, he's been calling you from the place of your destiny. Oh, God. Woo. That's why he said when you come into time, there's going to be a separator, because earth will separate you from heaven. And the moment it separates you from heaven, you're going to forget your citizenship in heaven and forget your person and who you are in heaven. You're going to forget you. You're going to forget me. You're going to forget who I am, he said. You're going to forget who you are. You're not going to know where you came from. You're going to be born lost. That's why lost is called lost. Because lost is only lost when you have a destiny. If you don't have a destination, you ain't lost, you just there. What makes me lost is if I have a destination that I know I'm supposed to be, I just don't know how to get there. What makes me lost is that there's somewhere I belong. There's somewhere I came from. There's somewhere I'm supposed to go. I just don't know the directions. I don't know how to get from here to where I'm supposed to be. But if there wasn't somewhere I was supposed to be, I'd just be wherever I'm supposed to be. But because I know there's somewhere that I'm not, that I'm supposed to be, that makes me lost. And we were born lost because we were born with a destiny and we didn't know how to get there. And he said, you won't know where you're going. You won't know where you're from. You won't know who you are. You won't know who I am. But the only thing you will know is that my sheep will know my voice. Oh, hallelujah. He said, you won't even know it's me, but when you hear my voice, you're going to recognize me. When you hear my voice, when you mess up and get in some event center on some April in 2019 to hear some short, bald, who knows what, half mixed something, I don't know what he is, preacher, but he's going to speak something. And when he opens his mouth, it ain't going to be his mouth opening, it's going to be my mouth opening. And when I speak, you're going to hear my voice. Oh my God, I feel the glory of God in this room. Somebody's about to get a wake-up call. Somebody's about to hear him call your name. Ooh. Oh, he should never say he's calling your name. He's calling your name. He's calling your name. Hezekiah used to sing the song, he called my name. Thank you for calling my name. Thank you for never stop calling my name, because he never stops calling. He said, you won't know me, but my voice. He said, it's just like Lazarus. Lazarus was caught up in something he couldn't get out of. Lazarus backed up in a grave. Lazarus dead, mummified, dead, stinking dead. I mean, not just dead, like rotten, decomposing dead. That by the time Jesus got there, his sister said, by now he stinks. Look at your neighbor and say, you've been there before. You've been there before. You've been there when your life stunk. You've been there when there's some stink around you. You've been there when some rotten was around you. Oh, can I get an amen? And where things were falling apart and things look hopeless, and they put a stone over you by now because they just sealed it up that you're just going to be the way you are and you're just going to finish like that. And he said, where did you put him? They said, well, he's right over here, but by now he stinks. He said, just bring me to where you laid him. Oh, God. I'm talking to somebody, not only your life, I'm talking about your dreams. I'm talking about your vision. I'm talking about your calling. I'm talking about your purpose and your destiny that you buried somewhere, that you gave up on somewhere just because somebody hurt you,
just because somebody betrayed you, just because somebody wounded you, just because somebody called didn't like you, just because you made a mistake, just because it looked like it was over for you and done with you, just because you went through that season of illness that looked like it stole so much life from you that you were just going to exist the rest of your life. But in the name of Jesus, where did you lay it? Where did you lay it? Where did you put your dream? Where did you put your calling? Where did you put your destiny? Because wherever you put it, he's coming to it, and he's about to speak into your destiny.
They said, he's right over here. He said, well, what are you going to do? He said, I'm just going to stand here and speak. And he said, Lazarus! And the moment he said Lazarus, all of a sudden, Lazarus, who's dead and mummified, laying in the grave, wakes up. I wonder if you ever woke up from something and found yourself in a place you didn't even know how you got there. And suddenly he woke up. And when he woke up, he couldn't even see. But he woke up, and now he's in a grave, but he's alive. See, when you're dead, you belong in the grave. But when you wake up, you're supposed to come out. And the problem is that I'm still in where I was, where I used to belong. But now I'm awake. And I know I don't belong here anymore. I just don't know how to get out. And I used to belong in here with all these other jokers because they dead. But now I ain't dead no more. Now I'm alive. See, I used to be comfortable in here because I used to belong in here. But there's something that spoke into me that now has woke something in me that now won't let me be comfortable where I used to be comfortable. I used to be able to lay down in this because I belonged in this, but now he spoke something to me that now the places I used to go, I just don't even feel right no more. Now the thing where I used to hang and people I used to hang with that used to be comfortable with me, now suddenly they don't even like me. The people that used to invite me over to dinner now are having me for dinner. And now he's in the grave and alive, and he wants out. He's just mummified, so he can't even see his way out. But he hears his name and where he belongs, calling him. God's about to call somebody out. God's about to call you out of every grave. God's about to call you out of every pit. God's about to call you out of every place that's buried you and made you feel like you are buried and everything in you has died. But I hear him about to speak life back into you and bring you out of every dead situation in your life. And suddenly he says, Lazarus! And Lazarus says, yes, Lord! I hear you. He said, come forth. He said, I would, but I can't see. Because the Bible says they wrapped him in grave clothes. That means he was completely mummified. That means that now he couldn't even see his way out if he wanted to. And now he said, I can't see my way out. I know I don't belong in this anymore. I know this ain't me anymore. I know there's more that you're calling me to. I know there's a place that you want me to be. I'm trying to get there, but I don't even know how to get there. I can't see my way there. He said, you ain't supposed to see your way there. You're going to hear your way there. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word from God. He said, I know you're in a situation that you don't know what to see your way out of. I know you're facing some circumstance that you don't see your way through. You don't have to see. Just close your eyes and hear my voice. Because if you hear me, you're going to hear your way out of every situation.
It's the same thing that brought Peter out. It's the same reason why Judas hangs like a dog, but Peter becomes the apostle of the New Testament church, even though he betrayed Jesus more than Judas ever will. Why? It's the difference is his ability to hear God. Because when Jesus said, "Who do people say I am?" everybody else said, "Well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're a prophet." He said, "That's he said, she said, they say. But who do you been walking with me 3.5 years? Who do you say that I am?" Out of all 12, 11 of them jokers, silent, don't say a word. One, Peter, jumps up and says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus turns back to him and says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." That means I'm going to pull you out of every mess you get in because you know how to hear God. Lincoln never say, there's nothing the devil can put you in that hearing God won't get you out. If you can hear his voice, there's nowhere the devil can put you that the voice of God can't pull you out of. He said, "You're going to mess up. A little girl's going to call you out and you're going to betray me 3 times. He said, "You're going to mess up all kinds of ways, Peter. But because you can hear me, I'll be able to pull you out of every mess up you are in because you hear my voice." "Lazarus, come forth." He said, "I'm coming. Just keep calling." And Jesus played Marco Polo. When we were little, growing up, me and my sisters used to play Marco Polo in the pool. And they'd always mess with me because I was the smallest one. So they'd always come in the deep end and yell, "Marco!" No, and I can't even swim and stuff. And they go, "Polo, here I come." But he said, "Lazarus, just keep coming to my voice. I'll keep calling, you keep coming. I'll keep calling, you keep coming. I know you can't see, so you'll stumble sometime. But even if you stumble, just keep hearing my voice. Just keep coming. If you mess up, keep coming. If you feel like quitting, keep coming. The days you feel like you're banging into walls and stuff and don't even know if there is an exit, just keep coming. Because if you can keep hearing me, I'll keep calling you. And I'm not going to stop calling you till you get to where I said you would be." And God stands at your end, calls you from your beginning and from the beginning of your life. He's been calling. He's been calling. And today, in 18 minutes, I'm going to show you one of the most undeniable stories to show you that when God calls you, your no doesn't even mess up his yes. That God will take your failure and still bring you to your finish. God will still take your mess and produce his mission. Because we always get the story of Jonah messed up. Because we think Jonah is about disobedience, right? I mean, because we were always taught, you know, remember the little felt board? Anybody remember the felt board growing up? Children's church felt board? We got technology now and stuff. Back then they had the felt board. Remember the felt people? Remember the felt whale? The felt whale, that's before we got real technical and knew it wasn't a whale because he said fish and a whale's not a fish. Anyway. But back then we had this story and it was all about don't be like Jonah. When God speaks to you, obey him, because God spoke to Jonah, God's prophet, and gave him a destiny. He said, "Your destiny is in Nineveh." And we know the story, right? Story how he said, "Nineveh." Jonah said, "This way." He said, "I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going in the opposite direction." But I think we've misinterpreted it as disobedience. Because it's not The story of Jonah is not about disobedience. The story of Jonah is about undeniability. The story of Jonah is that he'll turn your opposite direction into his path. The story of Jonah is that he'll turn your no into his yes. The story of Jonah is that when God calls you, it's not up for vote. It's not up for your opinion. It's not up for whether or not you like the calling, dislike the calling, are comfortable with it. See, God's not into empowering your dream. God's into empowering his assignment. That means if you have a dream that's contrary to his assignment, you're going to be frustrated that you never get your dream, because God's not here to empower your dream when your dream doesn't fulfill his purpose. Got quiet right there. He says, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he starts going in the opposite direction. And we know the story. He gets in the boat. When he gets in the boat, he gets in the boat and starts going to the opposite direction. And he's like, I'm setting sail as far away from Nineveh as I can get. See, I'm not scared of all the guys who are running from their calling. I'm scared of these jokers who are lining up for paper, who are lining up to get their names on an ordination. I'm scared to death of the people waiting for the next appointment. That's the ones I'm scared of. I'm not scared of the one that said, you must be talking to somebody else. Because God always has a way of calling the reluctant. God always has a way of calling the unqualified. God always has a way of calling the ones that are the most uncomfortable when they see the calling in their life. Because if God really calls you, it ought to make you shake in your boots. If it's really the calling of God, it means it's going to require God to fulfill it. And if it requires God, it means it's too big for me. And if the moment he says do it, I start shaking because I know I can't do it. But that's the sign that it's God. If you feel qualified for your calling, then I'm questioning your calling. Because every time God calls somebody, he always calls somebody who's not qualified for the calling, so that then when they fulfill the calling, oh hallelujah, they can't get the glory because they know they weren't qualified. It took God to get me to do this. Like, if you really knew me in life growing up, I was highly introverted. You can ask my family, quiet, introverted. Wouldn't believe it today. Ain't it amazing what God can do? Well, it's because it's not about personality. It's not about your little personal quirks. It's about assignment. And the moment he gets in the boat and starts going in the other direction, the Bible says, and God sent a storm. Can I tell you where the storm came from? Not just from God. The storm came because of the destiny and anointing on his life. Because the stronger the anointing, the greater the storm. And for somebody who God has called into deep things in God, the sign that you have depth in God is that you attract great storms. Because great storms don't come from shallow water. The deeper the water, the stronger the storm. That's why we around here have hurricanes. It's because we're next to the ocean. Is anybody with me right now? We ain't in the Middle East. I ain't taking nothing away tornadoes because they could take lives and stuff like that. But we get stuff with names. When your storm has a name, yeah, baby. Like, our storms give birth to tornadoes. Because to get these kind of storms, you got to be next to deep water. See, somebody in here, the reason the kind of storms that come against your life are so great is because of the depths of God that is in your life. If you weren't so deep, oh God, you could have shallow storms. But because what's in you is so glorious and so deep in God, that's why all hell and high water breaks loose against you. That's why it seems like you get hit on every side all at once, is because the greater the assignment, the greater the anointing, the greater the destiny, the greater the storm. But if that's you, greater is he that is in you than he that is coming against you. And if God be for you, woo! Ow!
Did somebody say he's greater than your storm? It's because of what's on you. It's because of what's in you. And the storm comes. That's why you'll never see Jesus go out into a sea in a boat and there not be a storm. Whenever he shows up to them in the middle of the sea, there's always a storm going on. Either he's in the boat sleeping and they're in the middle of a storm, or they're in the storm and he comes walking out on the water to see what's going on in the storm. But if he comes in the water, storms start coming, because that kind of anointing attracts that kind of storm. Oh, God. Woo. See, that's what you got to prepare everyone around your life for. You got to prepare them of what it takes to hang with you. Because not everybody can be connected to you, because they can't handle what comes with you. Oh, look at them and say, can you hang with me? Can you hang with me? See, that's why some people got to go to cute church. That's why some, oh Lord have mercy. That's why some people, that's why, is it all right if we just break it down in here? That's why some people got to go to nice little package church where it's nice and cute, and we say two little sermonettes and we go home and we sprinkle some dust over your head and you go your way till next week, and we don't mess with you and you don't mess with us. It's because that thing don't get storms. But when you get near something that's got kingdom connected to it, when you get near, oh my God. When you get near something that ain't about building a church, but building a region for the glory of God, you better get ready, because some wind's about to blow and some storms are about to rise. Look at him and say, can you hang with me? Can you hang with me? I need to prepare you for something. Like, being near you needs to come with a pre-qualification letter. Being near you and connected to you needs to come with some understanding. They need to get some disclosure given to them. Like, if you get connected to me, you're going to get attacked. If you get connected to me, you're going to take some wind. If you're going to get next to me and connected to me, there's going to be some stuff out of nowhere that comes for your life. But if you get connected to me, the blessing of the Lord is going to overtake everything in your life.
Whoa.
Whoa, I feel the glory of the Lord in here. Oh, grab somebody by the hand and say, connect, 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 connect. Look them in the eye and say, don't get scared, don't get scared, don't get scared. I know the wind's going to blow. I know it's going to get stormy. I know you're going to get in the middle of the sea. And you're going to think, have you brought us out here to die? But if you wake him up, you're going to find out that he has the power over the wind and over the waves. And he will say, peace,
be still. Oh, I'm almost done.
He says, they come to him in the middle of the storm. The storm is breaking the ship up. And they're going, what in the world? We already saw the forecast. We know. Red sky at night, sail is delight. Red sky in morning. This don't even line up. This don't even, like, we've already mapped out the forecast, and we're supposed to have peace.
and just calm seas. And where does somebody's got to be responsible for this? Who and how? And when they find Jonah, they find him down in the bottom of the ship, and he's like Jesus in the middle of the storm. He's just like he took 3 NyQuil. Like he took Ambien without all the funny vision. And he's just sleeping. Then they wake him up and say, "What?" Hey. See, because he knows why there's waves. He knows what comes with this. See, you think it's the waves of his disobedience. It's the waves of the magnitude of his destiny. Because God sent the storm, the Bible says. Not because he's punishing him. I just need step 1 so I can get him to step 2. And the storm looks like it's fighting to destroy you. But the storm is only the setup for the next step to your destiny. The storm. He said, they said, why are you sleeping? He said, they said, what is this storm about? And they cast lots and it falls on Jonah. And he says, they turn him and said, what you do? See, because when people start seeing you go through what you go through because of what's on you, they think God's mad at you. But it ain't God mad. It's God processing. It's God developing. It's God positioning. And he says, I know why the storm. He said, if you guys want peaceful waters, just throw me out of the boat. If you get me out of the boat, you will not have another storm. And they try to make it to seashore with him in there, and they just can't, and it's about to break the boat in pieces. And finally, they throw him overboard. And the moment they throw him overboard, everything goes shh. But then God does something completely different. Because the moment it looks like it's gone to bad, it looks like it goes to worse. Because now he's in the middle of the ocean. And if he's about to drown, and that's bad enough. But then all of a sudden, here come the fish. And the Bible says, and God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Wait a minute. Notice something. God sent the storm, but God prepared the fish. That means the storm God sent was just to get you to what he already prepared for you. Ooh, look at him and say, he had something waiting on you. He has something waiting on you. He has something waiting on you. That means the fish was waiting for the boat to get just at the right spot. Oh, that means God said, right at the right spot, I'm going to let the storm hit the ship because I have a fish that's already under the boat when they toss him out of the boat because I got something prepared for this joker. Watch. And the great fish, not the whale, the great fish swallows Jonah. And it looks like God sent the storm just to take him out once he got to the fish. Because, I mean, it's one thing to be in the water and have a chance to swim. It's another thing when you're in the water and something swallows you whole. To be in one situation is bad enough. But then in the middle of your situation, for something to just come send a death notice for you, to take you out is another situation. And suddenly something comes in your life and swallows you. And I came to speak and close to talk to somebody who knows what it is to be in the belly of a thing. With no light, with no hope, in the belly of something that's taking you down. Jonah 2 says, and I was in the belly of the depths of hell. I wonder if somebody has ever felt like they've been in the belly of hell. I wonder if anybody in this room has ever been in the middle of something that felt so hopeless, it felt like every breath you take is taking every breath from you. Where you feel like it's a slow fixation. Where you feel like you're slowly suffocating on your own life. Because just living is taking more life from you with every breath. And you feel like you're in the belly of something that's taking you down for the last time. And there ain't no getting out of this. And there ain't no getting up from this. And I'm just going to be here until I'm done. I'm just going to try to cope with what it's like to be in the belly of this. And there he is. In the belly. Whew. Something happens while he's in the belly. The Bible says he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Something about 3 days. We don't have time for that today. Three days in the belly. Told you we don't have time. 3 days in the middle of a hopeless situation where he can't tell what's day and he can't tell what's night. Where every day is just running into another day. For existence is all he knows. Where it seems like every day is just another day like the day before, where it's a slow death to the inevitable until there is no more oxygen left in my life and I'm just done. Something happens in the belly. Because he's 3 days in and he starts thinking, by now, I should already be dead. By now, because I've seen this fish eat other things in the last 3 days, and I see what's happened to everything it ate. Ate it. It decomposed. He digested it. And it turned into some mess. See, that's what the enemy thought. What he thought he could bring in your life would do to your life. The enemy thought it's just a matter of time before what you're in takes you out. Oh, but he doesn't understand. He's not in control of this fish. God prepared it. Oh, and what? Watch this. 3 days he's watching. I saw him eat that tuna. Tuna came in. Tuna broke down. Tuna, no more tuna. I'm in it, but I'm still in it. I'm in it, but I'm still here. I dare you just to pinch somebody next to you. Pinch them, pinch them. Pinch them till they know they got pinched. Pinch them till they know they got don't leave a mark now. I just want them to know they're still here. I want them to know they've been swallowed, but they're not digested. They've been swallowed. And I don't know what came and swallowed you. And I don't know what came to swallow up your family. I don't know what came to swallow up your marriage. I don't know what came to swallow up your children. I don't know what came to swallow up your calling and your purpose and take it to the depths and tell you it's over and tell you it's done and tell you it's hopeless. But check it out, baby. It might have swallowed you, but by now you should be dead. By now it should be over. And I came to just let you know, you're still here. You're still here. Stand with me all over this house. Hit your neighbor, say, I've been swallowed, but not digested.